All right, let's go ahead and come back together, please. I almost just handed a microphone to Matt and said, go for it, man. You're on fire. Yeah. Yeah. Can we pray and jump into something here? So Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your presence and your joy. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for igniting a passion and a desire, Lord, to be close to you today. Thank you, Lord, for lighting a fire in our hearts to display who you are and who, what our relationship with you looks like. And so, Lord, we pray that you would break down every barrier, every boundary, even ones that we have put up and said no further than this. Just pray, Lord, that you would break through those things, speak to our hearts. We open our ears to hear your voice. Pray for changed life today in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to kind of tag on to a little bit of what Matt was saying about living our lives out really in front of the generations coming up, yes, but really everyone. Sage had made a statement this morning that our communication, can we bring me down just a smidge because I might get loud in a minute. Our communication is 7% verbal. The rest of our communication is in our facial expressions. It's really about what you do, how you the manner in which you live communicates something to everyone around you. If you're a parent or if you're a kid, you've heard this statement, I'm sure. But if you're a parent, you've probably said something close to this, which is, I don't want to hear sorry. I want to see change. Or I'm tired of words. Empty words without change. Why? Because we're looking for fruit of something that took place on the inside. Because sorry looks like something. Passion, desire, and our heartfelt relationship with Him looks like something. And the display of such speaks to people around us. I heard years ago, like 25 years ago, it was the Skit Guys. They did a whole drama and said, at the end of it, they said, I can't remember the exact words except this part, you may be the only Bible somebody may ever read. Now, when I heard that, I was, you know, somewhat young in the Lord when I heard it, and it was cutting, like, ooh, whoa. You know, it's not just about what I say, but how I live my life out speaks volumes over all the things I can. Because we can spout out as Christians how much God loves people and how much God wants to touch and heal and bring, you know, deliverance and all. But if our lives don't look like that, who wants that? It'd be like going to work somewhere that you thought your job was going to be one thing and you figure out you're actually a used car salesman. Who wants that? No, just kidding. I am playing. I'm just trying to lighten up a little here. But do you understand? It's like there is we say one thing, but we live a different. People don't want that. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean you want Bible. Okay. Let's go. I want to show you something that is so crazy. Philippians 2. Let me go there as well. Ooh, this is so good. Philippians 2, start in verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. If we could just do that, if we could make ourselves of no reputation, like what would that look like? What would that be like in our world? Meaning, like, everybody likes to be known for something. In some way, some sphere, some, you know, whoever we run with or whatever job we might have, we like to be known for something. Why? Because it pets our ego. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. I want you to, just before I go any further, I want you to get this understanding with me. Jesus left everything. Like Jesus has always been. We understand this, right? In the beginning was the Jesus is the Word made manifest in human form. Jesus always has been. He was not created. He is God. Always has been. He left the comforts of everything. You remember this verse? Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You guys remember this verse? He made himself homeless in one sense so that he could come and display something about God that we didn't get. Because we made God a rule-giving God. We made God a religion when it was always supposed to be about relationship. Watch this. I'm trying to think of where this is. In the Old Testament, I have Leviticus 15. I'm sure you all read that in your devotion this morning, but this isn't where I wanted to go, but I might come to that at some point, but I know why it's there now. But in Exodus, God takes the Israelites, he responds to they're being enslaved. He ends up bringing them out of slavery, gives them what we call the law, which I could show you. You ready for this? I could show you that it actually was a marriage proposal and a covenant being made with the people of Israel. It's far more than just your 613 laws. Go live. Did you notice he waited till they were out of slavery in order to give them something to live by, because he needed them out of the place of bondage in order to give them this, really it was a level of freedom that they had not experienced ever for themselves, for those who were living. They'd been in slavery. Anybody know how long they were enslaved? 400 years plus. 400 years plus, knowing nothing but. So the generation that's coming out of slavery has known nothing but slavery. From the moment they were born till the moment they die, all they knew was slavery, slavery, slavery. Bondage, bondage, bondage. God brings them out of bondage, not because they did anything, not because they had all the rules and they followed all the rules and God responded to that and did anything. He loved them because of who they were. He loved them not because of what they did, but because of who they were. It was the gospel. God loves you and he loves me and he loves everyone around, not because of what they do, but because of who they are. Created ones. Brought from the Creator, right? Created in his image. All of us. Every one of us. No matter your age, no matter your gender, which, by the way, there's only two. Thank you. Pause. In the beginning, God created mankind. He created them. Male and female, he created them. Thank you, sir. I know this isn't popular, and I... I've given my email address before, and right? JimmyCrackCorn@idontcare.com. No, it's probably taken already. God created them, male, female. We're all two genders, right? So it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter even if there's confusion in that. Do you understand? It's not like in the midst of this confusion or in the midst of being misunderstood, in the midst of being in sin of any sort, that God doesn't love. If that's the case, I'm disqualified first. Because I did all kinds of stupid things. And God said, I choose you. Go figure. Can we keep reading? I think I want to go a little bit further. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death, or the death of the cross, or death on, I should say on, but it says of, death of the cross. Anyone who died on a cross was considered cursed. That's good. Oh, Cal, Wayne, you guys are throwing me off over here. Used to seeing you over here, now you're over here. I like it, but it's throwing me off a little bit. I really wanted to just bring this initial mindset out of Jesus leaving everything, dropping every bit of reputation, every bit of what we would call paradise and, you know, all of these, and experience everything with nothing. Like, he gave up everything in order to gain everything back. He showed how a person who is successful in walking out Christianity and displaying the glory of God looks like. It isn't about being broke or being no home or it's about submitting everything you have to Him. That's really it. You understand? I'm not talking about we should all be in rags and living without a home. And no, that's not what I mean. I'm saying really submitting ourselves beyond what it costs us or what we get or what we don't get or what kind of accolades or what kind of reputation or what kind of, but just pushing all the chips into the middle of the table and going, I'm seriously all in. We could change the whole world. So I want to go into Matthew. Matthew is such an interesting book to me, mostly because of the person who wrote it. I like the way Matthew writes. It's like all the Gospels and most of the Bible, chronology or figuring out chronological order of how things actually went is a little difficult because Matthew kind of lumps things into certain categories. But you can tell when things flow in a direction that you know these things probably happened chronologically. I believe that most of chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 happened chronologically. There are things within there that didn't, but a lot of what you read in there, you can see in 5, 6, 7, Jesus preaches Sermon on the Mount. Did you remember this? So he starts out by saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's as close as your reach. It's right here, right now. I can smell it, taste it, see it. It's there. And so he went about. That's what he preached in starting his ministry. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he began to talk about what the kingdom looked like. In chapter 8, 9, and 10, part of 10, he displayed what the kingdom looked like. So in other words, he didn't just talk about it, he did something about it. He showed. So I'll give you some examples. And this isn't... The display of the kingdom is, and I'll get a little deeper into this in a second, but the display of the kingdom is not just about people being healed, or I think those things are necessary, but there's more to what you read than what you think you read, if that makes sense. I know. I don't mean to be confusing. I like I said, I will get a little bit deeper into what I mean by that in a second. Let me get to Matthew chapter 8. So, we're going to read in chapter 9, but I just want to go over a few things in chapter 8. Jesus cleanses a leper. That's the first thing we see, miracle-wise. Then he heals a centurion servant. Then he heals a mother-in-law. I mean, that in itself... No, I'm not going to go there. Is amazing. It's awesome. What did you think I was going to say? Talked about the cost of being a disciple. He shows that even the wind and the waves are subject to him. He heals a demon-possessed, two demon-possessed men. So there's a whole bunch on display here just in this first bit. Jesus heals a leper. He wasn't even allowed to be near a leper. He would have been considered ritually unclean had he gotten even within a certain distance of a leper, much less touching a leper. He heals a centurion servant. Why? Because he was showing that this is not just about the Hebrew or the Jewish people, but this is going beyond. This is the gospel going beyond what has been up until this point. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. And even those right close to him, he does things that are like on a bigger scope than just, oh, he did this, he did this, he did this. He was displaying something of the nature of God within himself in everything that he does. Do you understand that? Okay, so going on to chapter 9, Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. He's like, you're going to need these legs. So this is one of those things. The next thing you see is Matthew, the calling of Matthew. This, in my opinion, is a little bit out of chronological order, though it is about the controversy of what is taking place. Why it's lumped in there is because he's talking about these different controversial things. Jesus was healing people on Sabbaths and touching people that shouldn't have been touched, and all these things that were happening within that were controversial. Matthew would have been absolutely hated and despised as a tax collector. So he kind of gets lumped in there. He's writing it himself, but Jesus' question about fasting, Jesus. Let's start in, what time is it? Man, I want to talk about these things, but I got to move. Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood. Two blind men healed. Yeah, let's start there. I want to start right there. Verse 27. So chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 27. This is a super interesting story to me. May not be to you. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. I think it's interesting that he didn't stop. Like, I don't know how they followed him. I don't know, you know, like they're blind, but he's like, I know he didn't throw his arms up like that, but he walked on and they followed him all the way to this house. They go in the house. So they came to him and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Which, so much there. Their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. That, watch these two. How many times do we see Jesus, like, you know, heal somebody and be like, don't tell anybody? And they're like, And they go tell everybody. Like, these guys no different, but when they had departed, they spread the news. Don't tell anybody. Yeah, well, we can see I'm telling everybody. So, maybe we should get some of that. No. Maybe we should get some of that. That thing that is like Jeremiah, if I tried to hold this back, the fire shut up in my bones and I am weary, I'm tired from trying to hold it back. Like what if we got a hold of that? That what has happened in me, I don't want to shut up. I can't shut up. I can't not share. Double negative there. But I can't help but share this with everyone around me. Even if, right, it's like the man crying out, Dave, or Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus' own disciples are like, shut up. You're being disruptive. The master doesn't have time for this, right? Get away. Go. Shut up. And so he cries out even louder. Why? Because in desperation, to encounter and experience experience, what he's heard other people talk about, he doesn't care what he looks like. What if we stopped caring what we look like, what we sound like, what we might be thought of, because we're spreading something that happened to me, happened to you, and needs to happen to everyone else around us? Spread the news about him in all that country. They went nuts. It was like a wildfire. They went crazy sharing this. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man. This is so Jesus and his disciples, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. Again, great. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Sorry. This is where, if you had a Bible that was musical, you'd hear, wah, 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 right? Here comes the HOA police. You're not supposed to cut those bushes like that. Right? So, jumping off of, again, what Matt said, if people were like, you know, saying, wow, Matt's looking good, he's lost a lot of weight, he looks good, it's what he meant, probably an Ozempic. That's the Pharisees. I know it's not, but the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. How stupid are you? Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Something shifts right here that is so interesting to me. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. That word compassion is... Sorry, I'm trying to get it in my head how it goes. It's splachno. You hear the splachno there? Because it's to be moved on the inside with love or pity is what splachna or splachno something. I can't remember. So he was moved with compassion with them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Okay? Keep going. We're going to go for a minute here. Then he said to his disciples, harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Right? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So he encounters these Pharisees, he walks away, he begins to share more of the kingdom, more of the gospel, healing, blessing, casting out demons. And then he takes his disciples and he says, listen, look around. There's so much harvest here, but not very many people to do the harvest. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest, right? For laborers. Let's go. We'll get further into this in a minute. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12, this is interesting, and I'll tell you why I think this is super interesting for you and for me. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First Simon, who's called Peter. And Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Stop there for just a second. Back up just a little. First, you have Peter, right, who constantly, I've told you, puts his foot in his mouth, says crazy things, right? Jesus tells him he's full of the devil. In fact, he calls him Satan at one point. He denies Jesus. But yet, here he is being listed first. How about James and John? Do you remember in... I can't remember exactly where it's at now. In the Gospels. I can't remember. They're walking with Jesus, right? And some stuff happens with the Samaritans. And they were like, hey, Jesus, should we call fire down from heaven like Elijah did? And this was John and James. John and James, he ended up calling them sons of thunder, right? I mean, this was not a compliment. Andrew was Andrew. He was Peter's brother. Keep going. Philip, Bart, Thomas, Matthew the tax collector. I like how, you ever noticed how in John calls himself the one whom Jesus loved? Matthew's like, hey, just so you know, I was a tax collector. I was hated by people, despised, but yet Jesus chose me. Isn't that interesting? James, the son of Alphaeus. I don't know why it says that. I don't know that person's name. Whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, which actually, if you're reading another translation, it should say Simon the Zealot. Anybody got that in your translation? Simon the Zealot. He would have had Make Israel Great Again hat. Don't you think it's interesting, Jesus' choice of people? Like, you got Matthew, who works for CNN, and Simon the Zealot, who works for Fox News. He calls them together and says, you're going to be best friends. Like, that's crazy. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. This list, to me, is encouraging. This list, to me, is not an untouchable list. This list, to me, is not a list of men who are like superstars. This is a list of men who had pasts and mistakes, and mistakes as they walked with Jesus. Mistakes all the way up to the cross with Jesus and beyond. And yet they are given some level of authority by Jesus that he doesn't revoke or take away. He doesn't go, well, you're disqualified. He said, this is the way I see it. I know it doesn't say it this way, but this is how I see it. You're following me. You need to not only go and preach what I preach, but you need to demonstrate what I demonstrate. I don't think that that's ever changed. I know that we sometimes lack seeing the things that we desire to see, but sometimes you have to ask yourself, what is behind the motive, behind why I want to see what I want to see? Is it because you're moved with compassion on the inside for those around us? Or is it because you just want to be able to do it? I mean, I have to ask myself that. When I walk through, let's say, the streets of Anchorage. I mean, let's be honest. The streets of Anchorage are like, right? It's like walking through Los Anchorage or something. Did you hear what I called it? Hello? It's tough because you've got all this stuff in front of you, and it's hard to see the kingdom within it because all you can see is the filth and the maybe some fentanyl over here and maybe, you know, whatever kind of, and we struggle to see the kingdom. Can I tell you this? If you're looking down the nose at people, it is really hard to keep an eye on the king. And if you're keeping your eye on the king, it's really hard to look down your nose at people. What if we learn to keep our eye on the king, display the kingdom around us, have compassion on those we come into contact with, not because they've done anything right, but because they're His, wouldn't the kingdom then... It's kind of like, you ever hear stories about someone like Heidi Baker, and you're like, how is it always... Like, you go to Africa, if you're not doing miracles in Africa, there's something wrong with you. Like, that's what it seems like to me. Maybe it doesn't seem like that to you. But when I hear about... Like if I don't hear somebody say, while I was in Africa, somebody's arm grew out. Like, it wasn't there, and then is there. And people are like, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. People aren't going, what? Why? Because there's a desperation and a hunger to see the kingdom of God established, regardless of whether you're in the dump, right? Or you go to India, where you minister is in the streets of the poorest of the poor, and your heart is not going, I don't like this, this feels dangerous. You're just like, hey, I don't care, I want to just bring the kingdom. I don't care about... What if we got that? This is what Jesus was giving His guys. Like, up until this point, He was displaying something. He said, let me teach you how to teach the kingdom. Let me teach you how to enact the kingdom. Now I'm going to send you with kingdom authority. Kind of felt like Street Fighter. That's the thing. Oh, okay. If you're not as old as me, you probably don't have any idea what that was. But if you're older than me, you may not know what it was either. But Lord have mercy. I can see somebody out there going, just how old are you? No. Not that old. Becca. Control your laughter. Okay, let's keep going in the story really quick here. And when He had called His 12 disciples to Him, He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12, we went through that. Verse 3, we went through that. Verse 4, went through that. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. He was laying some kind of ground rules for them. I forgot. I remember where all this goes now, and I don't want to go down that road. I'd have to go all the way through to verse 42 to make it all make sense. So we're not going to do that today. Let's just back up one verse. We talked about the people. We talked about who they were, what was going on, why they needed what they need. Okay, so here's what we need to talk about for you and for me. So what does this mean for me? What does this mean for you? I don't believe that there was ever any expiration date given on what was expected of a disciple, which was to preach the kingdom. Can I... Do you know that you're all in ministry? Do we understand that? Can I tell you something that might shock you a little? I'm not in ministry. I'm not. What I mean by that is what the Lord told me to do in Ephesians chapter 4. My job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Do you know that you're all saints? Right? Like, you can get your own necklace with your picture on it and everything. And no, don't do that. I don't know where this stuff comes from. My job is to equip you to go and do the kingdom work. Your job is to go and make disciples. That's also part of my job, but I'm just saying, like, if we're expecting church to be the end-all, do-all, we missed it. Completely missed it. If we're expecting the doors of the church to open up and suddenly just a flood of people to come in, I'm not saying it won't or can't happen, because it can and it does, but I'm saying that is not where, that's as bad as just holding on till Jesus comes. We are meant to go and preach the kingdom, demonstrate the kingdom, disciple and send ourselves. That is what each one of us should be doing. Is preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To anyone that has an ear to hear. What's an ear to hear? Anybody know what an ear to hear is? Jesus said it over and over and over and over and over. Let him who has an ear to hear, hear. Anybody, everybody, anyone who will listen to the word, let his ears be opened to hear what is about to be shared, not just by my words, but a demonstration of my words. We're really good at words. We're really good at trying to talk our way through things. But like if my wife only ever heard I love you, but I never displayed my love for her, she's going to eventually go, do you really? Like, you're treating me just like everybody else. That would make me sad. I would make you sadder, I'm sure. But you hear me? If our children... I mean, my gosh. I know this is fake, but plants respond to love. What? I know it's not fake. I'm serious. All living things respond to love. Being displayed. How many times have you ever witnessed to somebody and they... something, you see it visibly break in them. Maybe there's tears, maybe there's not. Generally speaking, there usually is. And they're cut to the heart of like, I need him. What is one of the first things they typically do? Grab a hold of you and hug you. Why? Because they don't know what else to do. I'm so thankful for what you just gave me. I need to display back this love that I'm feeling right now. Why? Because love looks like something. It has to. It has to. We cannot walk by people and go, be warm and well fed. Jesus loves you. If any of you walks by somebody and sees them without a tunic or a coat, you have two of them. Give it to them. That's your Bible. I know. I'm like, let's not open our closet. That would be embarrassing. We love verses like, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. We love all the things being added to us. Just struggle with seeking the kingdom. Why? Because we don't know what that looks like. Do you know what seeking the kingdom, it's not just about seeking in prayer. It's about seeking any place you can display and bring the kingdom of God. The kingdom. What is the kingdom? The king's domain. Anywhere the king is, which is
everywhere.
It's all His. If you think you work in a... I feel like I'm beating you up a little bit here, but I'm trying not to. If you think you work in a secular job, you need to rethink. You make it not secular. You carry the kingdom of God with you everywhere you go. Establishing that kingdom is your job. Regardless of where you work, regardless... Listen, I don't care if you're a public school teacher and you cannot preach the gospel openly, you still can display the gospel outwardly. Without having to necessarily use words, but just displaying. I promise you, if you display the kingdom of God outwardly, somebody's going to go, what is going on with you? What is different about you? What is it that I don't know what it is, but you're always so kind and loving. And you're always there. You always hear me. You always, whatever it is. But if we display something opposite of the kingdom, it's also noticed, and people reject that and push it away. How do I say what I'm thinking? Because I don't like using words like never or always or rarely is a good word. Rarely ever will you ever have anyone, if you're truly displaying the kingdom of God, rarely will you have anyone reject that. Usually what people reject is the display of Jesus that we attempt to do that really is not Him. You know, and I know that that's not always, because there's plenty of people out there that push that away. But sometimes we got to look at, just like Jesus did. Jesus made Himself of no reputation, dropped everything He had and everything He was, so He could display God in such a way that it drew people to it, right? The ones who rejected it were the religious ones who went, Even the Roman officials were like, He's not hurting anyone. Like, He's loving people. He's feeding people. He's doing things that are... Who cares about their religious stuff? This was... Jesus did this over and over and over and over and over, breaking all the religious rules to make the religious devils rise up and go, I don't like this. This is not good. So that people would go, even where I'm at in the muck and the mire, God is going to come right in here and meet me. I don't need to get all my leprosy healed and my blood issues fixed and my sickness done and all of these things out of the way before I come to Him. I come to Him dirty and He makes me clean. Instead of me making Him dirty, He's making me clean. Why? Because that's the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus displayed over and over and over. What do we display? What do you display? What do we do when we tell people, well, you got to do all these things in order for God to love you? Fooey on that. Now, this is where it gets a little bit like hard for me, because I know that as you begin to allow the kingdom of God to saturate you, there are things that absolutely change, 100%. Change and grow and multiply and all those things. And so I'm not saying that once you're a Christian, you just, oh, well, live however you want, do whatever you want. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if we are blocking people from coming to the Lord because we want them to have all their ducks in a row, we missed it. We're not displaying the kingdom. That's what I'm trying to get at. Sorry. Got a story in my head I have to tell you. Anybody in here ever prayed for somebody? They got healed or something radical happened, and the first thing they do is go, holy bleep, I can't believe that happened. You're like,
Well, you know, what are you going to do? Hey, you're not supposed to do that. They don't know yet. They don't understand yet. They haven't been fully sanctified. They, you know, it's like, man, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Hey, awesome. God showed up. He healed you. Wow. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Okay. So what do we do with this? Where do you go from here? This is not meant to be condemning or slamming, or this is meant to be like, we've got to take a hard look at ourselves and go, we're waiting for someone else to do something. For instance, you wouldn't believe how many people come to me or to Sage, or probably lots of leadership, and say things like this. You know, the church really should do this. You know, the church really should have this going on. You know, the church really should. Hello, you're the church there, Scooter. What if instead of coming and saying, hey, the church really should, what if you went, man, there's something burning on my heart and I would love to know what it would look like for me to step into a role of starting something for this group of people or that, right? Can I tell you, after seeing that list of the 12 disciples, we need to stop the mentality of like, we need a singles group, right? We need a singles group so that people can meet each other and find their spouses. And no, we don't. That's not what we need. We don't need a group that is specifically set for just people who play golf. We don't need a group for people who, otherwise you create all these groups that unless you fit into these groups, right? Like, because I don't know that I could find one that I'm like, that's my group. I love hanging out with all kinds of people, and I'm not good at golf, and I like to play, but I'm not good. I love to fish. I love to go with people out fishing. I almost named somebody, but then people would be calling and going, hey, I heard you take people fishing. No, just kidding. I love to go hunting, but nobody invites me. People are like, don't invite Jack. He'll tell everybody where you're hunting. So, no, I've never told anybody any hunting spots that I can remember. GPS coordinates, maybe, but... I'm just saying. Like, I like to do these things, but I'm not going to go find a group that I fit into in one thing. And unless, for me, if we are like, let's start a group for the on-fire disciples of Jesus that want to go and make disciples and see people saved and the kingdom established, I'll be in that group all day. I will be in that group, and we'll go do everything else, whatever that looks like. We'll go have fun and play, but we're going to establish the kingdom. To me, that's the group that needs to be going, which is meeting at Matt's house on Friday the 28th. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. That's my heart, and I know that's Matt's heart in running in this lane, is we want to see men burning with a desire to see the kingdom of God established in the earth and walking in health and wholeness in their own lives so that they don't feel defeated in what's happening, but they feel empowered to go and do the things that we talk about. That sounds like a great group to be a part of. It's happening Wednesday as well, right? It does. But I'm saying, like, if we would change the way we see things and begin to take ownership. If there's things that you see that you're like, you know, the church should really have, that maybe it's because there's a burning desire inside of you that God is putting His finger on that He wants you to do. Because I know I will run around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to fix every problem and everything and be a part of this and fix that and do that and start this group, and like it'll run you into the ground. We just can't do that. Last thought. I quoted the scripture a minute ago. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. He's the head, you're the body. He's looking for a body to put His head. We are now ambassadors. Hello, 2 Corinthians. We are ambassadors going forth, being the hands and feet, the body of Christ, going forth and establishing the kingdom of God. Why? Because we've been entrusted and empowered to do so. So just like Jesus gave His own disciples authority to do the things of the kingdom, as the kingdom was established in them, so are we. What are we doing with it? Stand up. One day I think I'm going to stand down here and ask, okay, who thinks there should be a prison ministry? And if you raise your hand, you're like, sweet, you're starting one. Who thinks there should be... Who thinks there should be this going on? Watch, everybody's going to be like... Food pantry? He's homeless. Establishing the